Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Daf Chof Aleph, and we're holding at Gufa, which was the Gufa looking into the very last sugya that we had discussed, which was Ziri, where he was saying that Alibe de Reb Chanina, if you cooked dam, then you would not be chayev on eating it, because that dam would be useless for the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, we also said that if you were moleach dam, since melicha, maluach is kiroi teach, it would be the same din. It wasn't roi from the mizbeach, therefore it wouldn't be osir. I shouldn't say it wouldn't be osir, it would be osir, but it wouldn't be a chayev of kores if you ate it. Gufa. Omar Ze'iri, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Dam Shebishlo Inu Over Alav. So Rava was sitting around and saying this over to people, and Abaye asked him, Esrei Abaye, it says in the Braita that if hikba et adam v'achalo, if you let the blood get hard, and then you ate it, and hikba usually means that you heated it. O shimcha et achelev, or let's say you took some of the fats and you liquefied them by warming them, you would still be chayev. So how can Ziri claim that you would not be chayev if you ate dam that had been cooked or that had been maluach? Here the Braita says beferish that if you hardened the dam, you would actually still be chayev. Answer, Rav, it's not really a problem at all. Lokasha, it depends what it was that made the dam hard. If you put it into heat, so then kanshik baba ur, so then enochinami, you would be potter. But if you left it in the sun, and because it was exposed to the light, it hardened, then you would actually be chayev. Why? Because if you used heat, then there's no way to return that blood to a liquid state. So there's no way to rehydrate it. Masha'in kain, if it only hardened by exposure to light, it can be rehydrated. And because of that, bechama hadar. So since it can be returned to its original status, so it's not considered to be pasul for the mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? It's still possible for the Mizbeach, isn't it? Because remember, we have a klal of Hayal ve'itri itri. Once something has been unusable for a while, so then it's no longer, even though it may be physically restorable, and you might be able to rehydrate it, but that doesn't mean that it's going to become now suddenly mutter again for the Mizbeach after it was nitche from the Mizbeach. And therefore, even if it was only put into the light, and that's what caused it to become hardened, then we should still say it's possible for the Mizbeach, because all the Yitchi Yitchi. So that's not the answer, because I'll show you that that's true. The Habaymine Rav Mani Mirav Yochanan. What would be the din of dam that had become hardened for any reason? Amalei Ha'ovin Yitcha Yidache. You cannot use it, because it was no longer roi for the Mizbeach. So even if you rehydrated it, it would still not be roi for the Mizbeach. Ishtik. So Rava, that's a problem. Rava didn't know how to answer that. Omalei Sabaya said, look, maybe the whole approach that you took was wrong. Maybe the right way to have approached this in the first place was to give a completely different answer. Not that the difference was heat or light. The difference was Dilma Vadai kan bechatot achitzoniot vekan bechatot apnimiot. The obvious answer could be that there's a tremendous difference between a chatot that is brought outside of the echal and a chatot that's brought inside. Why? Think about it. How do you bring the dam of a chatas outside? The kohen puts a finger in, and then he puts it onto the karnot hamizbeach. But where you're talking about the pnimiyot, remember that over there you have to dip it in. It says v'taval, but you can't dip a finger into a non-liquid. So that would be the difference. Look, Omar, Rava said, you know what, you just reminded me of something very important, which was that difference that Rav Chista actually taught. namely, Atkaratan Milta the Yomer of Chista. Dam Shikaraj, if you have congealed blood and they were meant to be put on the Chataot Achitzoniot, if you eat that, so then you would be Chayev. Why? Because the pasuk that talks about the Aveda of the Kohen doesn't mention Tvila Sa'etzba, it only mentions Velokach, take the dam, Vinatan, and put the dam on the Mizbeach. So I can do that. I don't need to dip it into anything, so what's the problem? And Hai Bar Lakech Abinatinahu, this blood is certainly perfectly capable of being taken by the Kohen and putting it onto the Kranot. But by the Chataot HaPnimiyot, the Lashon is, which means it's your potter, it says Vitavala Kohen. Remember, we made a big deal about that back in Zvachim, that the Dam and the concept of Tvila, and there needed to be enough to be a Tvila, Lechatchila, and so on. So there, there's no way that you could do a tefillah once it's congealed. And therefore, Hailav bar tefillah v'hazahu. So Rav Chisda said, there's a big nafkamina between the dam of the chataot apnimiyot, which is not ro'i, and therefore you wouldn't be chayav for eating it, and the dam of the chataot achitzoniyot, which is ro'i for lekicha and for netina. I wanted you to know, however, said Rava, look, I'm telling you over what Rav Chisda said, and you reminded me of it, and I'm grateful, but I don't agree with Rav Chisda personally. In my opinion, Rava Didei Amar, in my own opinion, the truth is there won't be any difference. Oh, yes, I agree that there's difference when it comes to its usability on the Mizbeach, but I disagree and feel that there's no difference binogea eating it, in terms of the chiyuv, of course, of eating it. Because I think that afilu b'chataot apnimiot, if you took dam that was meant to be brought in the inside of the heichal and you eat it, you would be chayev even though that dam is not usable. Why? Because hoil uchenegdo ra'ui b'chataot achitzonot. Look, the concept that the Torah assers the dam, because as it says in the pasuk, well, that's the dam that I gave you to be mechaper al nafshotechem, and so on, right? But that doesn't refer to a case-by-case basis. It's a definition of what is considered to be dam. Now, look, that definitely, I agree, that definitely means that if this is dam, that it cannot be mechaper al nafshotechem in any type of circumstances or in any type of carbon. I agree that then the Torah is saying that you would be potter on eating that dam. But this dam, is it, forget about this particular, you know, one cup of dam. This state of dam, is it suitable for kapara? Not in a chatas apnimi, it's true. But in a chatat achitzona, is it suitable physically? Yes. So then that means if we're only referring to a state of dam, then you are going to be chayev because it has nothing to do with your eating dam that was meant to be on the Mizbeach, obviously. I mean, if you eat dam just from any animal that's chulin, you're going to be chayev. So it's obviously only a reference to the state, not to the case. So since this state is usable on the Mizbeach, what's nafkamina whether this particular Mizbeach is what it is? You're going to use it on this particular carbon. Is this dam or is this not dam? That's all that we need to decide. And since there are certainly circumstances where this type of congealed dam can be mechayev you, can be used on the mizbeach, therefore in any type of dam, it would be mechayev you. Amrith Papa, well, if that's the case, then I want to point out that according to the logic of Rava's statement now, let's say you have the dam of a donkey, right? And now the question is whether shekarash is important. I'll explain this in a moment. It's really a machlokas here between the Rashi and the Deis that are brought by the Shita. Rashi understands that a dam of a chamor, which is obviously not usable on the Mizbeach, it goes without saying, I mean, it's shor kesef ve'ez, certainly not a tame animal, right? But nonetheless, is this blood? It is blood. And in this particular state of being liquid blood, or even if it's congealed blood, would it be usable? It would. So therefore, according to Rava, it would be chayev. That's how Rashi learns. Now, the thing is that the Shita points out that actually the Gemara elsewhere brings a remez in the pasuk from an additional ribui of dam that you're chayev even on dam chaya and on dam behema tmeya. So I don't need Rova Svara to tell me that the dam of a chamor would be considered to be dam. The only thing that I need it for is the chiddush of the dam of chamor shekarash. Because, okay, so you would say that maybe the only time that we were ready to say that even dam that is not drinkable would be included is dafka if it is dam that could be used on the Mizbeah. But since the dam achamor anyway can't be used on the Mizbeah, and this particular state of krisha is only considered to be kosher because there are circumstances which can be brought on the Mizbeah, which of course is not true by the chamor, so you might think that we wouldn't make an overall statement that even congealed blood is b'chayev you. Kamash malan, that what Rava is saying is, all we're looking at is the state, the physical state of dam. Is the Torah going to consider this to be blood? So if it considers it to be blood anywhere, then what's the nafka mina, whether it's for the Mizbeach, not for the Mizbeach, or whether it's even ridiculous to speak of it in terms of the Mizbeach, because it is dam of a behemah tmeah. Therefore, the dam of karash specifically would be the chiddush according to the shita. You'd be chayav. Well, the chenegdo, since in a kosher animal, it would be ro'i for the chatot achitzonot, and therefore the state of this liquid is considered to be defined as dam in the Torah. Omrev Gidl Omre Zairi, once we're talking about the din of dam that has dried out, you should know that dam is always considered to be a chatzitza. So if you have any kind of blood on a kli or on your skin, then it's not going to be a kosher tefillah if you put it into the mikveh, whether it's dry blood or whether it is not dried. Meitve. It says in the Braita, hadam v'hadyo v'hadvash v'hachalav yiveshin chotzitzin lachin einan chotzitzin. How can Ziri say whether it's dry or whether it's wet? It's going to be a chatzitza. And here it says that dam is only a chatzitza if it's dry. But if it's lach, it's not a chatzitza. So Ziri is going against the Braita? Lokasha. Remember that there is a middle state when it comes to dam, and that is sticky, right? Because the dam, even before it dries, almost immediately starts being sarich. Sarich means so that it forms connections, like a sircha in the lung, adhesions. It's called a sircha. Sarich means it sticks. And therefore, since the blood sticks, because of that, even if it's not dried totally, it still is going to be a chatzitza because the water is not going to be able to penetrate. Masha'in Kain, the Braita is talking about what's truly wet, so it's fresh blood, and therefore is can be just washed off from the Mei of the Mikvah, and it's not going to be a chatzitza. But the other case is okay. I mean, obviously we're talking about milk, or you're talking about the ink, and so on. We didn't make that distinction. But the Ziri was talking about when he said whether it's dry or whether it's still wet. He means it's still damp, but it's sticky. Anyway, getting back to the pasuk. So we said, b'kol minchotecha, it says, make sure that you bring melach. And how does it say it? It's b'melach timlach. So why do you need to know b'melach timlach? I mean, obviously, you could just have said the timlach, you wouldn't have need that, right? Or you could say, similar in the question is, you could just say b'melach yiyeh or something. But the probably the correct point is that once you're telling me timlach, then you're already telling me b'melach. So what is the point of having both b'melach and timlach? L'kidetanya, b'melach. If the pasuk would have just said, put it with salt, you might think that that means tivonehu. Now, we're going to explain that funny term, what does tivonehu mean, but it's clear from the context that tivonehu means you're going to put on a lot of salt. It's going to be tons of salt in there, and you might think that's what it means, b'melach, Talmud Lomar. No, just timlach. Just make it salted. Oh, well, if the point is just make it salted, maybe you don't even need to use actual salt crystals. If you've got, let's say, some water that is salty water. So if I add that salty water to the carbon, so then I'm making it salty. And then you said, okay, timlach, make it salty. All right. So I made it salty. Talmud Lomar, Bameoach. No, 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 no. It's got to be salty in the way that was done with actual crystals of salt. All right, and then the next part, V'lo Tashbit, Melach Brit. What does that mean, Tashbit? A funny way of saying it. It means the Melach, it should be a Melach that is V'lo Tashbit, meaning that this Melach gets brought to you courtesy of the production of the sea, whether it is all it's wintertime, the summertime, have melach she'ina shovetet. Now, as we know, most of the salt that's marketed is salt that's mined. And that is not going to actually be brought to you. You have to go out and collect it. But if you're talking about melach she'ina shovetet, that is melach that comes from a sea where it's available all year round. And that would be melach sidomit. So bring the melach sidomit, and that would be lo tashbit melach, the type of salt that's lo tashbit. But what about if you don't have any of that available? And the only salt that you have is mined salt. So minayin she'im lo matza melach sidomit, she'mevi melach istrokanit. How do you know that you can even bring the melach, which is mined salt? Ah, Talmud Lomar, takriv melach. Takriv is a ribui, which means no matter what, whatever is available, takriv mikol makom, you can bring it even from chutz laaretz, you can bring it even on Shabbos, even though you'd think that, well, I mean, the korban is doicha Shabbos, but can I be doicha Shabbos to get the salt? You can, even on Shabbos, and you can be makrevit, afilu bituma, even though you'll say, well, I mean, this korban is going to be doicha, the dinim of tuma, but what about the melach? No. Melach shall be brought also on that carbon, that is tamei, because it's hutra or tchuya betzibur. So therefore, we have both ideas. But getting back to that weird word, we said, yochol tivonehu. Tivonehu. What does tivonehu mean? I understand the context meant a lot of salt, but what's the word mean? What is tivonehu? Omar Rabba Barula, it means make it like teven. Make it like teven, meaning that it's like you're making a brick. So you put so much of the salt into it that it should be turning it into the way you would put teven into your bricks. You know, that's a lot of salt. Well, how did that become the word tivonehu? If that was what it was supposed to mean, so then it ought to say, yidbonenu. It should say, teven it up. So then, yidbonenu. That can't be what it means then. Tivoneu doesn't mean that. Elam Rabaye, I say, tivoneu means you might think that it should be like a binyan. So in other words, you should put one layer down, like you lay bricks, and put another layer of salt down, and that covers everything around the mincha with salt. Is that what it means? Sounds more like it to me. So yochol yasenu kibinyan. Omele Rova, well, your word doesn't work either. Because iachi, why does it say tivoneu? It should say yivnenu. You should build it up. Built up layers of salt. But how would the word of tivoneu mean yivoneu? So then what would it mean? Ela omer abai, omer Rova. I think what it means, yocho tivunehu, with a shuruk. Tivunehu means like bina, right? Make it understanding. How do you make salt understanding? My tivunehu? Omravashi, yocho yitin bo ta'am kabina. You might think that it should make the difference, just enough salt that should make the difference. Bina makes in an individual. So here's a machlokas, actually, how to understand this, whether it means the more bina that you have, then the more the person is able to function as a human being. And if that's the case, then it would mean that you would require a lot. Or others learn it means that you would have to actually make it appropriate, like bina, And therefore, if you have a lot in it, you need to be able to then wash it out so that it then spreads over the whole thing. Very strange language. But in any event, I mean, to compare the salt to bina is remarkable. But remember that the nature of how a person relates and understands the implications of things are actually compared to salt. And that's when something is tasteless, so we call it tafel. Tasteless in Hebrew, the word is tafel, and that it's unsalted. So that means that in our judgment of whether something has meaning or whether it's just a tasteless and inappropriate statement is a function of salt. In English, if something is salty, it's sexy. In Lashon HaKodesh, if something is sexy, it's tiflus, because it's without any meaning. So therefore, we call it tafel, a beautiful insight into the way a language views emptiness and meaning. But in any event, it does mean that melach, the relationship to saltiness, which seems to cut across many languages that I'm familiar with, always has to do with the way in which we relate to it mentally, which is fascinating. So when the Mishnah uses, the statement over here, Yochel, in the Itmar, is a lotion of Bina, starts to make more sense. So Yochel Yitein Bo Tam, it means a level of understanding and appropriateness. Now that's subtle, right? And that subtlety would therefore back those who learn that Dafka Yochel Yitein Bo Tam Kabina, which would mean only a small little bit of salt, which was the opposite of the way we were learning it. Talmud Lomar Timlach, therefore it means that you actually need more salt, which is completely different.
Yeah. I think an old salt means a person who's experienced, and therefore you can rely on his judgment.
Well,
right, the old salt.
The old salt is a reference to sailors.
Right, but there's a trust in their experience, I think, is part of the connotation.
Yeah. Anyway, so Lamaisa, what do you do? Ketzer was, eh? So, practically speaking, what would this mean? Well, it means you put a little bit of salt on one side, you turn it upside down, put a little bit of salt on that side, umaaleu, and then you bring it up to the Mizbeach, and Abaya says, this is also true of a kedera. So in other words, if you need to make something kosher, so the way in which you would make it kosher would actually be like that, by putting a little bit in, and so on. Now, this Gemara is fascinating. I mean, it's not our sugya at all, but I just want to point out, we'll talk about it more when we get to Chulin, but the Rabbeinu Gershon has a different Yirsa, as Tosfos brings, and that is not V'chein L'Kedera, but rather V'chein L'Tzli. So the light salting is the shita of the Rabbeinu Gershon when you're coming to barbecue meat. So he holds that you learn from this sugya that if you're barbecuing raw meat, you put a little bit of salt on it. When it comes to kedera, you need to have more salt than that. Masha Inkin, those who have the gears of a kedera, hold that there's no salt necessary at all when it comes to tzli. So this is a fascinating aside about the difference in the gears out here for practical daily halacha. Tana Rabbana. Melach she'agabe ha'ever. So now let's imagine the situation. The Kohen was up next to the Mizbeach. He salts with, we're going to see there was a pile of salt that was kept there. And he takes some of that salt and he puts it on the ever that he's about to throw on to the Mizbeach, bringing a Neila. So then it's considered to still be ro'i for Me'ila. And therefore, if he would in any way get hana'ah from that, then he would be chayav a korban me'ila. But any salt that we're, obviously you're not going to be able to get every last piece of salt onto the aver, and when you salt things, the salt spills a little bit to the side. So any of the salt that actually touches the surface of the mizbeach, so that you would not be able to be mail on, because that's no longer usable for the aver. So, ashal gabe kevesh, or Agabi Rosh Hashem is Beach, Ein Mo'alin Bo. So any of the salt, we're going to see soon that some of the melach was done on the kevesh, and sometimes the melach was actually put on at the last second on the mizbeach gufa, and if the salt spilled, then it's not shayach for it to be anymore to be osa mitzvosai. And since me'ila is never chal on something that was not osa mitzvosai, this salt that spilled to the side was already used. The Omer of Masa, actually, what's fascinating is that in Yecheskel, it is the makes it very clear that when the salt is on the Aver, it actually becomes part of the Aver. So where we see that the Pasuk says that, V'yikraftam lifnei Hashem, v'yishlichu hakohanim aleihem melech, v'he'elu otam olala Hashem. So what is it saying over here? Put the melach onto the Aver and then bring both of them up together as the Ola. A remarkable idea. So obviously it's telling us that the salt and the Aver together, that's considered to be the Ola. So obviously if you could do Me'ilah with the Aver, the Me'ilah is part of that Aver. Remarkable. Okay. So once I used the melach, it should be no longer moyal in it because it was not a mitzvah. So if I actually put this salt on the Aver, does it really matter whether it fell onto the ground or whether I used it up by putting it on the Aver? No. So I would think that you're not going to be moyal on the fact that the salt was hegdesh. But now, since we see that the Aver with the salt together is considered to be the Ola, so of course, now you're going to be mail on the salt, because now it's actually a chelik of a korban Ola, which you'll be mail on. It's not hasa. Al ha-melach v'al ha-eitzim, shiyu ha-kohanim neutin b'hem. So there's a list over there in Shkalim that has different things that Beis Din made a t'nai on, that at the time that they actually purchased with the funds of Hegdesh, that they purchased this thing, they had in mind that we're buying this for the Chalos of Kedusha with an understanding that there will not be Me'ilah under such and such circumstances. And one of those circumstances is that they made a t'nai on the money that, of course, came in with the Shkolim, that any melach and any etzim that are brought with this money, that the Kohanim should be allowed to be nene from that salt. And Shmuel says, when we say that the Kohanim are allowed to be nene, it only means for their korbanos they can be nene. It doesn't mean that when they eat it, they can't make any use of that salt for their own personal eating of the evrei chatas or the evrei asham. That they can't have. At least that's what we think it means. Now, Kasalka Daitlich, so that's what we thought. We thought when it says that the Kohanim are allowed to use that salt for their korbanos, that it means literally. The korbanah means limloach korbanot. So if they have to put on salt on a korban, and of course every korban, al kor korbanecha, any korban requires melach. So we thought that's what it meant. And when it said, so that was limloach korbanot. And when Shmuel said, but they can't use it for eating, it meant even when they were eating the chelek of the korban that was meant for them to be eat. So what is eaten? So la'achila means achilas kachim. But that's an absurd understanding of Shmuel. He never would have said that. Because we know the feirish that even the orot, which are the skins of the korbanas that are given to the kohanim, even the skin of an oila that's given to the kohen, they are salted, which is part of the way in which you preserve skins, obviously. So the hide that was salted from the salt that was taken from the lishka, which means that it was using the money for the trumas halishka. So if hashtalim loach orot kodashim yavinan, if we even allow the kohanim to use the kodesh salt for purposes of salting hides, I mean, for heaven's sakes, for the direct mitzvah of achilas kachim, we're going to say they're not allowed to use the salt? No, that makes no sense. So, hashto l'mloach orot kadashim yavinan, we give them the salt for free, so l'achilat kadashim lo yavinan, which is the akoinim oichli and ba'alim mischaprim, that we're not going to allow them to have? What would be the rationale for that? And I'll show you that we definitely do allow them to use salt for the skins, the Tanya. Nimtzeita Ataomer. So it turns out, now that we've explained to you the different places that we do Melicha, that there were three different locations where we had to have a box of salt. B'shlosha mekomot ha-melach netuna. So we have the Lishkat ha-melach, and over there in the Lishkat ha-melach, they used to salt the orot. And we have the kevesh. So because there are evarim that were salted on the kevesh, there is where we kept another box of salt. And Barosh Hashem Mizbeach, which is where we did the Kmitza and the Melichas HaKmitza, that would be right Barosh Hashem Mizbeach. So Belishkat HaMelach, we use it Shisham Mochim Orot Kodashim. So that was a special place, which was in the Lishkat HaMelach, which is not actually completely clear. Because, I mean, the Mishnah says otherwise. It says that the Lishkas HaParva, which we had discussed in Yuma, that's where we did, according to the Mishnah, the actual Melicha. Okay, so Tosef talks about that. It seems to be a steer here. And Algabe HaKevesh, that was for the Evorim. As we remember, that we had the Kohanim first bringing up the Evorim to the Kevesh. That's where you did the Melicha of the Evorim. And then Min HaKevesh Elam Mizbeach. And what did we need to do? Berosh Hashem Mizbeach, Shesham Mochin HaKometz VaHaLavona. So Dafka, the Kometz and the Lavona would be done not in a place where there was any kind of dam that had been dripping from Evorim there, but rather directly before its mamash put on the Eish, and therefore it was needed to have availability of salt right there by the top of the Mizbeach itself. And the other things that were done there were all of those things that were essentially needed to be in a clean, dry place. So there we would do the Kometz, the Levona, the Minchas Konim in their entirety, where there was no Kmitza, the Mincha V'Kon Mashiach, which is the Chavitim, the Minchas Nesochim, which was the solid part of the Mincha, and the Olat HaOf. So even though the Olat HaOf may drip some blood, that's not significant enough to actually make things messy, and that's where we did it. So that would be the place that we'd have to do that Melicha. So anyway, what did Shmuel mean? So it could not have meant that they are not allowed to eat their kodshim with the salt of Kodesh. So what did Shmuel mean? Well, he must have therefore meant something different from the beginning. When it said l'korbanam, it meant l'achilat korbanam. So, we'll give the salt to the kohanim to be able to eat their portion of the korba. So that's l'achilat korbanam. And when it says, but not for their food, that would mean for their chulin food. Chulin food? What are you talking about? I understand. Of course not for their chulin food. What would chulin food be doing inside of the Azara? You're not even allowed to bring chulin by Azara. So where would there be an opportunity to take the melach from Kachim and to use it? What do you mean? They're going to steal it, put it in their pockets along with the silverware? I mean, what kind of crazy pshat is that? Achilas chulin. Chulin pshita. My bo hata. How did chulin get into the Azara that we'd have to worry about utilizing the melach of Kachim for it? Ah, because there is a case where we do have chulin in the Azara, where it becomes part of the achila of the chelik of the kohanim. Because afagav di omar mar, I would have thought, look, I mean, it says in the Braita, specifically, it adds that extra word. Hanoteret mimeno yochlu aron uvanav, matzote achel, b'makom kadosh, Bechatzar ohel moed yochlu. What is that additional to eat it again? That's what we're talking about, just bechatzar ohel moed. So that yochlu comes to tell me that if necessary, if you don't have enough to eat and it's not appetizing, I mean, what's a kohen supposed to do eating a hot dog without mustard, for heaven's sakes? Well, where's he going to get mustard in the Beis HaMikdash? Suppose there's simply not enough there, that it should be al-hasova, b'simcha, derech mishicha, like we learn about elsewhere. So this tells me even shiochluim achulein v'truma, whatever it takes, even if it's not kodesh, they should eat along with it because it's needed for the level of Achila of Kutcher, that it's supposed to be an Achila Alasova, that is Derech Meshicha. So you might have thought that, okay, if I'm eating the whole thing as part of my Achilas Kutchim, that I should be able to put the Melach on it. Kamash Malan, and so it's not Sopshita. Kamash Malan, Afilo Hochi, on those things that are brought into the Azorah for the purposes of eating with the Kutchim, you cannot use the Melach of the Kutchim, Afilo Hochi. Melach the Kutchim, lo yav inamohu. So Shmuel was never talking about using the salt for the karbonos. He was only talking about using the salt for achila, and he was contrasting the achila of dvorim that are kodesh with the achila together with those dvorim that are kodesh that are not themselves kodesh, and there you can't use it. Omer le Ravina le Ravashi, it makes perfectly good sense what Shmuel said, because achinami mistavra, because what would we need a Tanai Bezdin to tell me that karbonos are kosher for karbonos to use the salt? And only because there's a Tanai Bezdin? And if there was no Tanai Bezdin, so then we can't use the salt for the karbonos. If you're going to tell me the karbono means limloach karbonon, why do we need a Tanai Bezdin? Anybody can use that salt on the karbon. That's what we bought the salt for. Taima Dasne Bezdin. So what would the Mishnah be saying? Well, Bezdin was Masna, and if Bezdin hadn't been Masna, or Loatne Bezdin, suppose they hadn't made it tonight? I mean, what would you say? That Kohanim aren't allowed to use the Melach? Ashtali Yisroi Avihan. If we even give a non-Kohen the salt for his Korban, as we'll see in a moment, so we wouldn't give it to the Kohen, the Kohanim lo Yavihan. I'll show you that we give it to anybody, to Tanya. You might think if somebody was mechayiv himself a korban mincha, that he should bring the melach which is necessary, al kor korbanecha, a korban mincha specifically we had yesterday, that we need to bring the melach. You might think you have to bring your own melach together with the mincha from your home. Remember that the levona comes before the heviala kohen. So apparently the Lavona you have to actually have from before, because that's what you give to the Kohen. So you might think the same thing would be true for the salt, because, I mean, why not? Vedinu. It uses the same lashon to be mevi. Mevi mincha and mevi melach. So that's al-kor korbanecha, al-kor korban minchascha, b'melach timlach. But that's the same lashon that it says with the Lavona. So it's the same, basically the same idea. Mincha l'Hashem and Yatzak l'Hashem and Venatana l'Levona. I mean, why should there be a difference? If the Levona has to be brought from home because it says Beferish, Veviyala Kohen is together with the Levona, so then maybe the salt also has to come. Af melach mitoch beto. Well, you might say the opposite. You might say, "Kolach l'derech zu, ne'mar havei mincha v'havei melach, v'ne'mar havei mincha v'havei etzim." Look, it says, "Ala etzim asher ala esh," when it's talking about being makriv. So just like we know the etzim are mishal tzibur, as we're going to prove later, af melach mishal tzibur. So maybe that means that we know that melach comes from the tzibur. Well, let's think about it logically. Nir elami domet. I would say, Danim davar anoheg b'chol hazivachim, midavar anoheg b'chol hazivachim. Look, if you're talking about the melach, what is melach most similar to? Levona or etzim? I mean, etzim are brought with every single korban, and melach is brought with every single korban. Now, why would I compare the melach to something that's only brought with a korban mincha, which is levona? That doesn't make sense. So it makes perfectly good sense to say that the hava of the etzim, which comes from the tzibur, is the same type of hava for the melach, right? So, tanim davar hanoheg b'chol hazvachim, but you can't bring a raya from Lavona. Lavona is only noeg by mincha, and it's ain't a noeg at b'chol hazvachim. Well, true, but I could look at it another way. Oh, kolach l'derech zu. I could say, donim davar haba ima b'kli echad. Midavar haba ima b'kli echad. Look, it makes more sense to learn the din of Melach, which is going to be put on the same thing, like the same way that it comes together with the mincha. Well, what comes together with the mincha? The wood? No, I don't put the wood into the same container, do I? I put the lavona in the same container. So the only thing that's comparable to that, the melach, which is put in the same container, so then the same thing would be true from the lavona. That's where to learn it. So if the lavona needs to come from my home, and only then ve'evi ala kohen, so too the melach should need to come from my home. Don't bring me a raya from eitzim that are provided me, because those eitzim, of course I don't bring that, because it doesn't come together with the minchat anyway. It's put on the mizbeach outside, which means we don't have any way of 100% determining what this halacha is, mitzad hasvara. So, whenever we do this, whenever we have, oh, kolach l'derech zo, kolach l'derech zo, we end up saying, and therefore, Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah teaches us beferish what the halacha is, which otherwise we'd be stuck on. Talmud Lomar, brit melach olam hi. So, we found that lashon of brit melach olam together with Me'et b'nei Yisrael, brit olam. What's that referring to? That is referring to the lechem haponim. And there it says brit olam, like it says by Shabbos. So just like the lechem haponim is beferish b'shal tzibor, I mean, it says the barrel b'nei, me'et b'nei Yisrael, actually it says, bring it from the b'nei Yisrael, the lechem haponim. So just like over there, it's b'shal tzibor, afkan, so to melach, always comes Michel Tzibor. So that means that a regular guy, you don't have to be a Barnea, a regular guy is allowed to use Melach for their carbon. So you're telling me Barnea needs a special Tanai Bezdin to be able to bring it on his carbon? That doesn't make any sense. Omar Le Rav Mordechai Le Rav Ashi, well, actually, Kohanim are really less able to use things. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because according to Ben Bukhri, there would be a problem in allowing Kohanim to use salt if there wouldn't be a special Tanai Bezdin. So, Omar Le'Rav Mordechai Le'Rav Ashi, what Rav Shisha Berei the Ravidi explained is that the need for this Tanai Bezdin was only according to Ben Bukhri. Remember, Ben Bukhri, who we've discussed numerous times, Ben Bukhri holds that Kohanim are not chayev in the Machzis HaShekel. So what Ben Bukhri said was, the Tnan, so we had this in the Mishnah in Shkalim, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Heid Ben Bukhri B'Yavna. So this was not stam about Barnea, it was actually in Barnea's neighborhood, in Yavna, that this Ben Bukhri was actually trying to save Barnea money. And what he said was, Kol Kohen Sheshokel Eino Chote. If a Kohen wants to donate money of his own free volunteering will, he's allowed to give money to the Trumas Halishka with the Shkolin. Omar Lo Reb Yochanan Ben Zarka, you got it all wrong, my friend. Lo, that's not what to say. Actually, Kol Kohen She'eino Shokel is Chote. If a Kohen doesn't provide his Machzis HaShekel, then he is a Chote, he's Mechuyev to give a Machzis HaShekel. But I know where you're getting confused. It's because these Kohanim, you can't trust them as far as you throw them. They're Dershin Mikra Zel Atzman. They have it all worked out to save money for Kohanim. And how do they save money? They say, look, it says in the Torah, V'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo teachel, if a korban mincha is brought by a kohen. So then, as we know, there's no comet, because there's no achila. The entire korban is brought like a korban eila on the mizbeach. So they said to themselves, look, if that's the case, if we were to give a Machzis HaShekel and they used our Machzis HaShekel to buy the Minchas HaOmer, or to buy the Shtei HaLechem, so then what would be the din? nobody would be allowed to eat it. Because then we'd be bringing the Omer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim. It would all be coming from our money. And that would mean that it has mixed in it the Minchas Kayin. And a Minchas Kayin is Asur Ba'achila. So then how would we be Mekayim the mitzvah of eating the Lechem Aponim every week? And how would we be Mekayim the mitzvah of eating the Minchas Omer or the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos? So therefore, we should not give the Machzis HaShekel. That was their reasoning. Hey, wait a minute. If that's true, then why did Ben Bukhri say that it would not be a chait? It would be a chait. If they gave money and that made it impossible for anybody to eat the lechem aponim, that would be terrible. So why do you tell me ein ochote? Well, the Ben Bukhri, kiman de lechatchila lo mechayve lehatuya, if they're not mechuyev, so then when they bring it, they're going to be causing a disaster. So ki maite nami choteu, because if the Torah is saying you're potter from bringing it, so then if they bring it, that money remains chulin, because they're not chayev to bring it. And therefore, that part of it is going to be chulin ba'azora, which is an issur d'oraisa. So how could you bring chulin ba'azora according to Ben Bukhri? Why does he say eino chote? It's a disaster. It is definitely a chait. So it shouldn't become kodesh at all if the Torah says you're potter. Well, I mean, Ben Bukhri takes for granted that if the Kohen is bringing his own Machzis HaShekel, then that means he makes it a donation. He's basically donating money of his own free will to Hegdash, and then it becomes the money of Hegdash. It's not the money of the Kohanim. So therefore, Ma'ati U'Motzeh Lahon L'Tzibur, they give it over of their own free will to the Tzibur. Once it becomes money of the Tzibur, now it becomes part of the total donation of the Machzis HaShekel. So, according to what we said over here, we need that tonight. It's according to this Svara of Ben Bukhri. Why? Because Salka Daita Chamina, I could think, look, the Torah said, you're right, you brought me a raya from the Pasuk of the Kol Korbanecha. So, Kizochi Lurachmana, if the Torah said, bring the Melach to all of the Korbanos, the Torah obviously would mean that only for people who, what is it called? The little red hen, I think it's called. You know, if you work on it, then you get something of it. So the same thing is true over here. Yisrael, who gives the money so to be able to, the Beis HaMikdash can afford to buy the melach, so they have the right to use the melach in that lishka because the money in the lishka is theirs. So Yisrael, the Itlu Lishka, there the Torah was Mizakya, Kizachi, Rachmana was to them. But the Kohanim, the Letle Lishka, they haven't made any investment. If you don't make any investment, why should you get the payout of the investment? And therefore, the Pasuk wasn't referring to Kohanim. Lo Zachu Lebachmana, and they should not be allowed to use it even for their own. Therefore, Kamash Malan, that the Beis Din, in order to avoid this actual libet of Ben Bukhri, this terrible result of the Kohanim net being allowed to use the melach that all of the rest of Klal Yisrael uses, they made it tonight that the Kohanim are not going to be male if they end up using this melach. That is the entire meaning of why we would actually need to have a tonight Beis Din in the Mishnah in Shkalim. Okay, Rabbosai.
Rabbi, not an answer to the question, just find it funny, is the double use of melach that the Mishnah in the Arabin says that we learned together, boskin melach agabe kenes b'shvil shalo yechliku, even on Shabbos. It's for the tzarech of the Kohanim, it's for tzarech avoda, so they shouldn't slip. It has 3 pages of melach and it doesn't come up. That's one of the things that was used. I just find it a little bit odd.
Well, the question is this the melach from the Lishka? Of course not. Melach from the Lishka is only used for karbonas. This is melach that is used from the overall money of Hegdesh that is part of not Truma Lishka. Stam Berek Habayis. So it's an expense. It's like any other expense of Hegdesh.
So there's a separate salt accumulation. There's a separate salt supply.
Yeah, of course.
For that.
Sure. One is Nagali Aveda, and the other one is just Nagali Logistics. If it's snowing, we'll put down salt in order to melt the snow so that the Kohanim won't slip. That doesn't mean we take it from the Trumas Halishka.
Thank you.
Of course, if you live in New Jersey, well, then that's something else. Okay, Rabozai.